Welcome to Microsoft Build 2017. Innovation is key these days in the software industry. And we as Microsoft know that in the last past year, when you were moving from one release to another, there was a painful process because of the app compatibility issues. With Windows 10, we want to make sure that we make your life easier by being transparent with you and your customers. And as part of that process, today we're here to talk about innovate faster with Windows as a service. My name is Etel Garcia, and I'm responsible for the Windows Developer Commercial Audience. And I'm here with my colleague, Steve Diacetis, a Principal Program Manager Lead in the Windows Engineering Team. And during this session, you're going to be able to, first, understand the new Windows 10 Cadence releases, be prepared to leverage that transformation in your application development lifecycle, by learning how Windows 10 is being built, deployed, and serviced, and then learn how Microsoft can help you through this process. But before that, let's talk about why we're here. Now, as you know, the world has shifted from big releases to frequently updates. And as part of that market change, Microsoft had adapted that market change with Windows as a service. Now, you as a developer want to take advantage of Windows as a service in your current application lifecycle. That way, you're going to gain competitive advantage to keep your applications current and actually take advantage of the latest and greatest features, APIs, Windows 10 capabilities. You also will maintain higher customer satisfaction, and you also have a faster time to market. But let's talk a little bit about Windows as a service. As I mentioned before, Windows as a service means that we're moving from long releases gap into constant innovation. Actually, Windows 10 has a brand new way of being built, deployed, and serviced. And we want to make sure that you as a developer understand these three stages separately. So for instance, from a build perspective, we're building Windows continuously. We're in constant innovation and constant development, and we're actually going to be shipping Windows twice a year. Now, we're going to make you participate of that process, but bringing access to those builds so you can prepare your applications and be ready when we're ready to ship. Now, from a deployment perspective, we also have changed the way that we deploy Windows. Now, we have automatically in place upgrades where actually you're going to be able to save your settings, data, and applications during that process. So they will still be the same when you upgrade your application, when your customers upgraded to Windows 10. And from a deployment, from a services perspective, we're going to make sure that we ensure consistency, stability, and reliability by using what's called community update. So we're no longer eliminating fragmentation between all the Windows device ecosystem. But before getting into all these details, Steve is going to give you more details about that, I want to talk to you a little bit about app compatibility. Now, you as a developer, you probably have a Windows 7 application. And that Windows 7 application will probably work already in Windows 10. Windows 10 is 99% compatible with commercial and consumer application with public APIs, meaning that Microsoft is going to be supporting those APIs, and if in case there is any changes or deprecation, we're going to be informing you about that through our published channels. Now, Microsoft will remain compatible in the upcoming versions. Otherwise, as you can imagine, we're going to be breaking a significant number of devices worldwide. Now, if there is any OS break, what we're going to do is we're going to be transparent with our developer community, and we're going to be communicating to you with the proper channels. Of course, every application is different, and there's going to be applications out there in the market that they have unpublished API, public APIs, and undocumented APIs, and probably application with kernel dependencies. So those applications will have a higher risk of incompatibility with Windows 10. But if you are part of that 1%, Microsoft will help you and guidance through the process to make those compatible, so you're ready to go. The very first thing and the very first recommendation that we're giving to our software developers is join the Windows Insider Program. The Windows Insider Program will help you get the latest builds, will help you to pilot those with your applications. You can identify early if your applications work on Windows 10, and if you have any issues, you can use the feedback hub within the Insider program, and we can help you through the process. Now, Steve, Can you give us some details about these three stages that I was talking about before?
Sounds good, Attell. Let's start with talking about how we build Windows 10. So it all starts each day when we produce a new engineering build based on the latest set of software check-ins from our engineers. Now this build is available immediately to thousands of engineers within the Windows organization, and they install and use this and provide feedback immediately. Now several times a week, these builds will go out even broader within Microsoft to tens of thousands of users within Microsoft through a broad self-host program. Again, these are builds that are of good quality and we're now seeking more feedback across Microsoft. Now trust me, sometimes we don't get this far. Sometimes we produce a bad build, it ends there, and we move on to the next day and build the next build. But after we have done more validation within Microsoft, we actually then take the build and bring it out to the public. These are those users that have signed up for the Windows Insider program, and we bring that out and allow them to either download them in a fast cadence or a slower cadence. The fast cadence is typically weekly, and the slower rhythm is more about monthly. Now, these are builds that have gone through a lot of testing and validation internally, and now we're bringing them out to the public to get feedback from those customers on how we're doing. So one of the key ingredients for making this work is our ability to listen to our customers through feedback, as well as get diagnostic information from their machines. And so we use this feedback and diagnostic for multiple reasons, but one of the key is to look at how we're doing in terms of app compat across the entire set of applications running in the ecosystem. So it's a key ingredient for us to, if in the event that we've introduced a regression in terms of compatibility, we can learn about it early and repair it before we actually ship at the end of that 6-month period. So in summary, what are some of the changes we do? Number one, we're building now on approximately a 6-month cycle, shipping feature updates twice a year. Secondly, we have the Insider program, which is providing our external customers access to these builds early to try out new features and provide us input on how these features are doing. And part of that includes feedback delivered through the feedback tool, as well as diagnostic information. This diagnostic information coming from devices greatly helps us keep the OS compatible and understand how well the OS is performing. So what does this mean for you as a developer? I think the key takeaway here is join the Insider program. See how your application is doing on these builds. As Attell mentioned, the OS is 99% compatible, and for those of you that are writing user mode apps that are using public Windows APIs, these should just work build after build. It's only those that maybe have a higher risk to either developing kernel-based apps or those that are using private APIs that run the risk of changing from release to release. We think those are higher risk and you want to begin your testing on the Insider build. Now, in addition, we have the Win 10 Compat Cookbook, which is our way of being able to share with you compatibility tips that we have for Windows 10. And if in the event that we need to communicate some changes that are important to you from a compat point of view, that's our vehicle for delivering those out. I also want to make one call out for another Build 2017 video that I encourage you to watch, which is from Sonia Carlson around analytics for Win32. Now, this video will talk about how a subset of the telemetry that we receive internally will be making available to you as a developer in Dev Center to write better apps. So with that said, let's switch gears and talk about changes in how we deploy Windows 10. So with the start of Windows 10, we've created a deployment process where essentially the user gets a very simple, reliable process to install the new OS and then lay down their apps, settings, and data. And this has worked so well from Windows 7 and Windows 8 to 10 that we're continuing that approach from Windows 10 to Windows 10 releases. What this means really for you as a developer is that you should no longer really understand that there is a clean wipe involved anymore. This will be an in-place upgrade going forward. Now let's take a look at how that looks on the timeline. As I mentioned earlier, it starts with these daily engineering builds and goes through a 6-month process where better and better builds are produced and going out to the insiders with a feedback loop from the insider community telling us how we're doing. At the end of that 6-month period, this now final release is available for consumer devices, and then later will be available for commercial devices. Now, when you look on the timeline, we're basically recommending that from a commercial deployment point of view, As soon as we release the latest build of Windows 10, we recommend that commercial customers start piloting that with a small group. So for example, a number of users within their IT department or QA department. And with those set of machines, with the latest features of Windows 10, start testing how Windows 10 is working within that organization and for the apps that are important for that organization. And then once they feel good with the quality at that point, go ahead and plan a broader deployment across the organization in a staged approach, basically to minimize risk, start with a smaller number of employees, and roll it out in phases. So in summary, let's talk about the changes. We've got an in-place upgrade process. No longer do we need a clean wipe and install. In general, consumers are going to be receiving these updates first, but business users will also look at this initial release as well and start their piloting on that in preparation for a broader deployment. And so one of the key takeaways we'd ask you to do is consider that because it's no longer clean, wipe, and install, your customer base is going to expect that the app and the version that they had prior to the upgrade will still be there on the other side of the upgrade process and work just as it did before. So it's really not a great opportunity from release to release to believe that your customers are going to reacquire your latest version. In addition, we think this is a good opportunity to perform targeted testing based on your risk profile. As I mentioned earlier, as an insider, get access to these early builds, perform targeted testing. Your user mode ones will probably require a lot less testing than those that are maybe of higher risk. And the other part, if you're developing software for commercial customers, we recommend making sure your app is ready immediately when we release at the end of the 6 months. So although the broad release and commercial deployments may happen a little bit later, we really want to enable those that are doing piloting to have your software ready to go. So now let's take a look at servicing and what changes we've made in servicing for Windows 10 and what it will mean for you as a developer. To really understand that better, we need to first start with understanding of how servicing worked, let's say in Windows 7. So each month we release patches that contain both security updates and non-security updates. And what typically happens is organizations will install the security updates, but selectively install these non-security updates. And what we're left with are PCs that are selectively patched and have a lot of different combinations of patches that are created by Microsoft. But compare this to the right-hand side where what we test internally would be candidate patches for release tested against a fully patched PC. And so as you might imagine, there are times when these new patches work fine on a fully patched PC, but might cause issues on a selectively patched PC. And therefore, we've made some improvements with Windows 10 to fix this particular issue. And so the way we've done that is we've decoupled quality updates from feature updates. Feature updates are twice a year, but the quality updates continue to be monthly, but in this case, they're now cumulative in nature. And so every monthly patch that we send out will be cumulative, and therefore, once users install those, they'll be up to date. And we believe this will eliminate or greatly reduce the amount of fragmentation over time for those users that are running Windows 10. But in addition, we've also created what we call servicing options that allow our customers to control the frequency that they pull down updates. I'm going to take you to three of these servicing options. The first one is called Current Branch, and we generally recommend this for, let's say, home users. And the key takeaway here is that those users that are pulling down updates through the Current Branch will immediately get these updates once Microsoft makes them available. I'm talking about feature updates that happen every 6 months. At the end of that 6 month period, home users, let's say, will immediately pull those down. But we also recognize that not everybody wants to pull down updates at that frequency. And so for the business community, we understand that they may want more time to be able to have access to those latest features, but do some internal testing first before deploying them broadly. And so we've created the Current Branch for business. And in this case, the updates are now available approximately 4 months after we publish those. And this is basically recommended for businesses. In general, the idea is the pilot can begin with those features that are found in the Current Branch. And by the time that those are made available for Current Branch for business, that would coincide with doing a more broad commercial deployment across the organization. Then lastly, we have the long-term servicing branch. And this is really a special branch designed for devices like point-of-sale machines that are intended to have a very low amount of changes put on them. So we publish these essentially every couple of years, and they're supported for 10 years. And the idea is that you build the machine once, you ensure the software is running right, and there's no more feature updates for the OS that are applied on that device. So in addition to listening to our customers and the ability for them to control how the features are deployed to them, we've also talked with our commercial customers, and we understand their need to understand what software is running well on Windows 10, and further, what software is supported by the developer. And so we've created readyforwindows.com, targeting the IT pro to allow them to search for applications, see what Microsoft knows about that application from a telemetry point of view, how healthy that app is based on telemetry, as well as learn from the developer that it's supported for Windows as a service. So we encourage you to showcase your applications on readyforwindows.com. Sign up is fast. You can use an MSA or AAD credentials. And in a matter of minutes, you can be showcased on the Ready for Windows portal, including your support for the Windows as a service model. In addition, we've created the Windows Analytics Upgrade Readiness Service. And this is, again, targeted for the IT pro. In this case, this tool will take an inventory of the devices in an organization, as well as the software that's used by that organization, and help to the IT pro to prioritize which applications may need more testing than others. So it'll help them identify those areas that may be in risk, prioritize their testing, and remediate as needed. And one of the key features of this is all of the information I just mentioned around Ready for Windows, including the support statements by you, the developer, as well as telemetry information about what Microsoft knows about these apps. This is automatically joined with our commercial customers' inventory to make it very easy for them to understand the status of their applications and plan their deployment. So in summary, we've changed how we're doing servicing in Windows 10. It includes both feature updates twice a year, as well as quality updates that are cumulative every month. We've introduced servicing branches to give our customers control in terms of the frequency that they pull down these updates. And so what it means for you as a developer is over time, your customer base likely is going to be on one of two servicing branches, current branch or current branch for business, and be fully patched. So it's a much smaller number of configurations than what you've had in the past, and hopefully in the long run will reduce the amount of testing that you have on Windows 10. The other key takeaway is that your customer base will expect, as we release our feature updates, that your app will continue to work. So we recommend decoupling your support for your application from any one particular build of Windows 10. Instead, really consider an application support lifecycle, perhaps your current version and your previous version, and supporting that over a period of time, independent of any one particular build of Windows or any one particular feature release. So we suggest leveraging the logo program on readyforwindows.com. In a matter of minutes, declare your application that it supports the Windows as a service model. Leverage the logo. So what's the risk, Attel, if our developer community really stands still?
That's a great question, and thank you for the amazing explanation of how Windows 10 works. Of course, any developer today can just do nothing around their applications, but standing still is risky. And we want to help you transform for this Windows as a service model. So for instance, one of the things that can happen from a technical perspective is that your customers, as Steve mentioned, are going to be piloting Windows 10 within their different feature updates. Your customers could be dissatisfied when your app no longer works if you haven't worked around that feature release specifically. So our recommendation is pilot and test using the Windows Insider program. Get the latest release and ensure that your application works, and make sure that your customers know about it, declaring support officially on your site or through Ready for Windows, as we explained before. There's also possible business risk that we have identified. So your customers probably no longer wanted to pay for twice a year for a license, right? So if you have your license attached to the shipping of our operating system, what we recommend is to decouple your revenue business model from the Windows version. As an example, you can change to a subscription model or a licensing model with support and maintenance, or think about how Windows as a Service can help you actually improve your business and have a more recurring revenue business model attached to it. Apart from that, we also have been putting together some sort of programs, guidance, and information on how for you, developer, to adopt Windows as a Service easily. And as we mentioned before, the first thing that we want you to do is test if your application is compatible with Windows 10 in any release that we shipped. And for doing that, join the Windows Insider program as the first step to get the greatest and latest build that we're shipping. So you can secure that your application work, and you can, if there is any undocumented published API or any change, you can also use your Windows 10 compatibility cookbook to make sure that we give you the guidance to make your application compatible. Now, if you already have your application compatible, let's tell the world. Let's make sure that you have a support statement on your website and your customers know about your application being compatible. If not, you can use our channel, readyforwindows.com, to declare support, four steps, really easy to do, where you can also get the compatible logo program for Windows as a Service. Now, if you also want to take advantage of modernize or evolve your Win32 application, you can also take advantage of the Windows 10 APIs, new capabilities and features, but transform your Win32 traditional application into UWP. We have tools like the Desktop Bridge for doing that. And there is also options about how to distribute your application, how to acquire and how to manage applications through the Windows Store. So you can take advantage of those as well. So in general, as a summary, we want you to embrace Windows as a Service, and we want you to learn how it works, and we're here to leverage this help to make you successful. So as a summary of the steps, we want you to join the Windows Insider program. We want you to align your product lifecycle to the Windows as a Service model. We want you to provide feedback in any case that you have an issue. We want you to declare support to Windows 10 in the Ready for Windows site. We want to modernize your applications if you want to take advantage of the new Windows 10 capabilities, or even like moving your application to the cloud. And for the end, we want you to recommend Windows 10 to your customers. We hope this presentation has been helpful for you. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.